Hey, I'm getting ready for the 4th of July, and I've got some rub made up, and I'm going to try it out. I made this up last night, and the details of that are on the next show, the 4th of July show. So this is kind of my pre-4th warm-up, and I felt like I needed to try it out. So I've gone to get some cheaper pieces of meat, something different. I wanted to find something close to the pork butts, that the Boston butts that I'm cooking tomorrow, and I went looking for pork blade steaks. They didn't have any thick enough, and so what I found though were these pork loin back riblets, and loin backs are the best ribs that you want to get, in my opinion, as opposed to spare ribs. They cost a little more, but they're think a lot more meatier, and they cook up better. So there are these riblets there. I've never seen these. There's a big rib sale. So evidently what they did was they took these end pieces of the ribs and threw them out there for $1.79 a pound. Pretty cheap. And this works perfect for me because I wanted to try my rub, see how it went. And I'm just going to take this and use it and do a little experiment with it and see what we get. So I've got that, and I've also got some beer can chicken. And I got two whole chickens. They were also pretty cheap. They cost $4 for a chicken, whole chicken. And I'm going to season those with the rub also and stick a beer can up in them and smoke them up that way. I got my fire lit, and I'm starting the preparation now. Got all my spices. Got everything laid out. The rub I'm using is composed of equal proportions onion powder, garlic powder, dark chili powder, black pepper, cayenne pepper, raw sugar, and kosher salt. And then I went in and tweaked it. I added, paprika. I used double the amount of paprika of all the rest of them. And then I went in and tweaked it. I added cumin, probably about a quarter cup of that. And then I went back and hit it with another half cup of paprika. And then a little more sugar because I kind of overdid it on the cayenne. It was good for me, but not necessarily good for everybody else. I've also got some mustard here. I've never used mustard before. And what I'm going to do on some of these riblets, I'm going to put a mustard coat on them and see how that comes out. Should be pretty interesting. So I think I'm going to go ahead and do the mustard-based one first. So I'm getting these riblets out, and let me tell you, they're little. They're very little. And there'll be a picture of them on the website if you want to see what these look like. But they got some meat on them, so I'm looking forward to this. I've got my newspaper laid out, and I got some plastic wrap over it. I've got some pretty good-sized pieces of riblets in here, and some little bitty ones just to round it all out. But all in all, I think it was a pretty good deal. So I've about got it all laid out here, and then we will begin adding our seasoning to it. Okay, so I got my nice little row of riblets, and I'm going to wash some of the meat juices off of me so I can handle my mustard a little better. I don't want to drip any meat goo into my mustard jar. I think what I'm going to do is take one of my little cups. I keep a stack of bowls down here, and I pour my mustard into that, and then there's no worries about me getting into it. Okay, well, that's looking pretty good. And get a nice shot of these riblets. See what we got. And this will be on the website. So now you can see exactly what it is that we're cooking. It's kind of hard to tell. I guess I need to put something down there for basis of comparison. But they look like little bitty ribs. Little bitty slabs of ribs. Okay, so what I'm doing now, I've got my mustard in here. I've got some apple cider vinegar. I was thinking about cutting it a little bit, but I'm just going straight into it. So I got my fingers in and rubbing on my mustard and cutting my ribs front and back with some mustard. And I think what I'm going to do is half the ribs, I'm going to try this mustard coat, and the other half we'll just do straight up. Rub's going on both of them, though. That's the whole point of today's test cook. is try this rub out and see how it goes. I didn't really have a recipe that I followed. I just kind of made this up as I went along. It's kind of based on all the, you know, standard ingredients, let's say, that are found in a typical rub. And ingredients vary wildly. I use chili powder. I've seen recipes for rubs that do not use any chili powder at all. And I use some dark chili powder, which I'm... that's why I'm doing this test. I like dark chili powder. It has a smokier, deeper flavor than the light chili powder. Now, this could work against me because I am, after all, smoking meat. And, you know, I don't think there's such a thing as over-smoked, but I certainly don't want it turning bitter. Okay, I've got a lot of the ribs rubbed and... slathered with mustard, whatever the mustard terminology is. And we got a shot of that. That'll be on the website. BigFoamyHead.com is the website. All right, it's time to put some rub on these guys. So I've got my rub, and I'm just picking it up, doing it by hand, putting a little on all my ribs. And then I'm going to roll them over and cut them again. Now, I've got my fire going already. Don't know if I mentioned that. I just lit it, and I'm doing my prep now. And what I'm thinking I'm going to do, because these riblets, it's not but a couple of pounds. They're little bitty things, so I don't think they'll take too long to smoke. But you never know. So I'm going to have to keep an eye on these. I'm going to try to avoid opening the door much, which is what you should avoid because of it lets the heat down, and you really don't need to do that with ribs. These riblets, although they have got a pretty good amount of fat, I'm thinking I'm going to have to keep an eye on them because they're so little, and there's not but 2 pounds of them, so that's not going to take 3 hours if that was a rack of ribs to smoke. Now I'm going to do the other side. And I've got these things laid out on some foil already. And I'm going to finish this up. My itinerary today is pretty full, preparing for the 4th. I've got three days to go, right? Saturday, Sunday, Monday is the 4th. And I got a lot to get done between now and then with all the rest of the cooking. So I'm going to try these guys out, and if the rub is good, with this meat, then we're going to prep the rest of the food, and that's on, as I mentioned before, a different podcast. Okay, so I got my ribs, my riblets all laid out. They look good. I'm putting another piece of plastic wrap over it, and these riblets are just slightly less than the width of the plastic, so that works out nicely for me. And what I'm going to do, I had a sheet of plastic down at the bottom. I put a sheet on the top, and now I'm just folding these things over and rolling it up. And the reason I'm rolling it up is just so I can get them out of the way. And I'm going to hit it with one more sheet of plastic, and these guys will be good and seasoned, and I'm going to throw them in my refrigerator and let them absorb the spices. And you know, you should do the rub well in advance. The longer the better. With ribs or thinner cuts of meat, at least 8 hours. I'm not going to do 8 hours today. This is just a real quick test. I want to make sure this rub's not just disgusting, which I don't think it is. It's going to be real good. So I've got it all wrapped up. I'm going to take these guys, and I'm going to put them in the refrigerator, and then we're going to work on our chicken. And what I'm going to do is this is a beer can type of chicken. The whole idea behind it is that you use a beer can shoved up the backside of the chicken, and it's going to produce steam and enhance the moisture content of the chicken. and as you'll learn shortly, I'm particular about my beer. So I'm not really using a good beer. Actually, I had some cheap diet beer laying around. And since we're really using this as a water substitute, I'm not going to waste any of my good stuff on it. Okay, so I got my rolled up ribs, riblets, sticking them in the refrigerator, let them cool off a little bit. All right, now let's get our chickens ready. I've got two nice sized chickens. These guys weigh approximately 5 pounds apiece. And let's get this plastic off of them. And we will begin prepping our chicken. Now, I did one. I did half the ribs thereabouts with the mustard, and I'm thinking about doing the same thing for the chicken, just to try it. I've been reading a lot about the mustard-based sauces and mops and things like that, and here in Memphis, we don't really hold with that kind of thinking. That's more a North Carolina style of barbecue or parts other than Memphis. But, you know, I'm thinking I may give it a shot just to see. So I've got the whole chickens out. I'm removing all the gizzards and necks and whatever leftover parts there were. A lot of fat on the end of it. I'm going to trim that a bit. In the order that I'm stacking my ribs, also in the cooker, the ribs and the chicken, I'm going to put the chicken above the riblets. Now, this is kind of good in that it gives me a chance for the juices that come off to marinate the ribs, or riblets. For some reason, I cannot remember. These are riblets, not ribs. The bad side of that is it's chicken marinating it. Now, I don't know that there's any kind of horrible food rule about mixing chicken and ribs. But, you know, that's what I'm about to do. Okay, I've decided I'm going to do it. I'm going to take the mustard, and I'm going to oil up a chicken here, grease up a chicken with some mustard. So I'm working on it, getting my mustard, putting it all over my chickens. Again, I've got my paper down here, and this paper is starting to show a little bit of wear and tear. So I got my chickens there all set up. I got one all mustarded up. I'm washing the mustard off my hands again. Thing about preparing all these foods, you got to frequently wash whatever kind of residue you got on your hands at the moment. Okay, looking good here. Let me get a picture of that for the website. And everything that you hear me talking about, I document all of my cooking so that you can see how it looks, and it is on the website, bigfoamyhead.com. There is a gallery page link. Just click gallery and take a look, and you can see kind of what this came out. It's kind of like television, but really, really slow-moving pictures, if you know what I mean. Okay, got that and ready to toss some more rub on. So I'm putting the rub onto the chicken, doing my mustard guy first. And, you know, I really need something on this skin. I think what I'm going to do is the mustard on the one chicken is going to keep the moisture locked in a little better as it bakes on. So that's good for that chicken. My other guy over here, he's just kind of naked. He didn't have anything going on him. So what I'm going to do for him, I'm going to take some cooking oil, and I'm going to rub him with that and keep him from drying out a little bit. Well, I'm going through this rub pretty good, so I hope it's going to be as good as I think I'm going to have. This is about a cup, maybe a cup and a half of rub. And as you've heard, I've done a pretty good bit of riblets. and I'm coming up on two chickens. So I'm getting a little bit of distance out of the rub. All right, now I've got some oil poured onto my bird, and I'm greasing him up, and he's picking up some of my rub seasonings that I've still got on my hands. So he's looking real good now. Yeah, he's all greased up, ready to go. So let's sprinkle some more rub on here. You know, I usually put these in a shaker, but I get impatient because it won't come out quick enough. Okay, and I about got him done now. So this time I'm just dumping it straight out of the bowl, and we're going to call that done. And that's that for the rub. Okay, I got two chickens. They are seasoned up nicely. They look great. It's a good color rub. It's very very dark color, and I'm hoping that as it cooks, it's going to caramelize. That sugar's going to caramelize pretty slow. I mentioned the sugar that I use was sugar in the raw. It's turbinado sugar, which is a natural raw sugar. And the reason for using a raw sugar instead of a cane sugar or what you're told is brown sugar is that it has a higher resistance to heat, higher temperature before it starts caramelizing, which works out really well. Okay, got these guys all ready, and now it's time to put them in the smoker. Okay, I made my fire about 10 minutes before the start of the show, and what I'd also done is I got a cup of wood chips and started them to soak in. My fire is, it looks great. It's a big mound of coals. The cooking of that I've got posted on the site now, there's no audio to it, was some eye of round, and I kind of went light on the coals, but since I don't really know how long I'm going to be cooking these guys, I let them, I built a much bigger fire, hopefully I haven't overdone it, but since these are little pieces of meat, and they're not that fatty, and plus they're chicken, I think I can get away with hotter fire. So, man, that is hot. It's got a little blast of heat from it. All right, so I'm using my poking stick. Some people call it a broom handle. And I'm getting my coals set out. This is a pretty good layer of coals. And I'm going to get all my racks arranged like I want. And a little awkward pulling that guy out. Okay, what I'm going to do, my riblet should take up just one rack in the smoker. So that I'm going to get my chicken rack. I'm going to set that up a little higher. I'm going to use a water pan with this so I can keep it good and steamy. So I've got my chicken rack there. And then I'm going to put my riblets rack a little higher up. And when I get everything loaded up, I'll take a picture of it. Website so you can see how I've got it. Now I've got extra racks I made for my smoker. So okay, looking good. And I've got room here for the water pan. Yes I do. Okay, good. Now I'm almost through getting my fire ready. Meanwhile my chickens are smoking and so forth. They're not smoking, they're soaking. And I'm getting my water pan filling up. Now I had a water pan that came with the cooker, and it promptly went bad after several uses. It was one of these coated, I don't know what it's coated with, but it sure wasn't ceramic, and it's just turned to crap. So I went to Walmart and spent all of $5 on a stainless steel mixing bowl. That's what I'm using for my my water pan. And I just set it inside the old nasty one, which I'm not going to put anything inside anymore. Okay, I got that about filled with about 3 inches of water, which is good. I'm going to slide this thing in. And then I'm going to get the beer. You can see the picture in here. I put my water pan higher than it ordinarily would go. I actually use a rack and set it on top of the rack rather than sliding it in and letting the lips of the pan hold the water pan in place. And I think that just puts it a little too close to the fire, so I've got about an extra 5 inches of elevation. All right, I'm going to go ahead and do my chickens, and this will be a fun little exercise here because I've got to hold him up. I got my beer. I've set my beer down, and I'm slipping the chicken over the top of the beer, and he's just standing up, just nice as you would please. I hope the chicken didn't start singing show tunes or anything like that, if you know what I mean. Okay, I got my chickens sitting up on the beer can, and they look pretty good. A little funny, like something on Saturday Night Live, but all things considered, the chicken's looking good, and we're ready to go and stick this guy on the grill. And once I got that done, the only thing remaining is pull the riblets out and lay them on their rack. All right, I've got my chicken. In there, he's doing good. And here goes my other chicken. I got my mustard guy. He's the backmost chicken, and this guy is a no mustard. Whoa! All right. All right, I got him set back up. He lost a little bit of beer. Okay, we're all good. All right, I'm checking my chicken. Yeah, and most of that went to the water pan, not the fire. That sizzling you heard is not anything burning. All right, let's get him squared away. This one chicken doesn't want to... It's not balancing out real good. He's standing up good on the table. Okay, there he goes. Yeah, they're both standing up. I think I'm going to face them, kind of face the sides of the wall. That way, if they fall over, I got somewhere to go. Okay. They're set up, and I'm getting my ribs out of the refrigerator. I'm taking my whole rolled up packet, and I'm ready to lay this on the grill. And the only thing I'm missing now is my pliers. They seem to have grown legs and walked off somewhere after all that moving around. That's everything. Remember all that I said about being prepared? Well, I wasn't prepared with my pliers, and now it's coming back to haunt me. I'm walking around holding meat in my hand. All right. Well, we'll just make do with the knife. So I got my rack out a little bit, and that's where I can get at it, and I'm going to unroll my riblets. I'm just going to start laying them on. No need to worry too much about the order of them. I think we'll be able to tell which are mustard and which are not. So this will be real interesting to see. And a lot of... These are interesting little riblets. I don't think I've ever seen these. I guess they're like what you get at what is that place, Applebee's, or one of those Fern Bar type restaurants that sell riblets. So I guess this is the same thing. These are pork riblets, so they're not beef. Okay, and about ran out of room. I got one of them kind of overlapping a little bit. Looks good. Okay, we got all of the meat onto the smoker. And I know that my temperature is probably a lot higher than I ordinarily would have it. But I'm going to go with that. And I'm going to leave it. I got plenty of moisture in there. And I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to let this thing run, cook for an hour and a half. I don't think I'm even going to touch it. No basting, no nothing. I got plenty of moisture on the meat. I've got plenty of moisture in the water. I've got a shot here. You can see it on the website that shows you how my chickens, my riblets, and my water pan are stacked over the charcoal. And starting from the bottom, I've got a bunch of charcoal. Then I've got a rack with my water pan on it. Then I've got a rack with my riblets. And then a final rack with my two chickens hanging on for dear life on there. So I think we are good as far as having everything ready. The water is looking just a tad low. I think I'm going to let it go. Okay, last thing. I've got my my chips. I'm going to drain the water off of them. And then what I'm going to do is I'm going to get about a big handful on the cup. Hear that? I got two handfuls. All right, and we're going to close it up. Okay, the door is now closed. I'm going to crack the vent open. I've got the vent here. I'm going to put him about halfway because I got plenty of coals. So I don't want to burn. So I got my vent set at halfway mark. Now my smoker, you'll see pictures. It looks kind of beat up and it's got rust around the vents and things like that. But you know, there ain't a thing wrong with that. Whatever gets the job done, you don't have to spend a ton of money on a smoker. There's no point to it unless you're getting into competition or you're doing massive quantities. You can spend $30. Get you a junky little smoker. That thing will work. It'll make wonderful food. So what I've got, this model, it is a Smoky Mountain series by Great Outdoors. And I bought this thing 2 years ago at Walmart for $80. It's solid steel. It's an upright smoker, but it's not one of the bullet type smokers where the whole lid or the top comes off. This one has a door that you can open up, and it's been really good. It's not as thick steel as I would like, so it doesn't retain the heat as well. But on the other hand, if I'm smoking, you know, I don't need this thing being 400 or 500 degrees. So let's see, my temperature's coming up. It's already up to 225, which you know, if I had my way, that would be it. It would stop at 225 and we'd call it done. But I got a feeling it's going to come up some more. So what I'm going to do, kind of segue into the brews part of the show. I've got a bunch of different beers, and what I'm going to do today while I'm cooking, and this is the reason why I cook, is because you got a lot of time on your hands while you're cooking, so what better way to kill time than have you a beer. So what I'm doing today, I've got a couple of beers from a brewery I'm particularly fond of, Unibrew. Unibrew is in Montreal, Quebec. And these guys brew Belgian-style beer, Abbey-style beer, but which is Belgian. And they're brewed by French guys who migrated to Canada, so they're all kinds of confused. But they make a really, really good beer. I am drinking this out of not out of a pint glass, but I've got it's kind of like I've got a Chimay glass, and I'm going to be having some Chimays later on. But this is I guess you'd call it sort of a tall goblet. And, you know, it's really It's almost irrelevant what kind of glass you drink it out of, but there are people who swear that the shape of the glass really has a lot to do with it, and I'm sure it aerates the beer and so forth. So I'm pouring this beer right now. This is the La Fin du Monde, the end of the world. All of the Innerbrew beers have a sort of a religious, catastrophic kind of overview theme going. The end of the world, Maudit, which means the damned. And then Dom de Dieu, I think this is the name of God, which that's the other beer that we're going to be having shortly. So I got my La Fin du Monde. I just poured it, and I've just taken a picture of it. So now you can see what that looks like on the website. This is a good-looking beer. It's a dark yellow with the head. There's not a huge head on the thing, which I like myself because I hate, you know, eating through the foam to get at the beer. But this is effervescent, just like all the heavy, the Belgian ales. Extremely fine bubbles. And maybe I didn't mention this, but it's 9% alcohol. So this beer will hook you right up. Look at my smoker. We got smoke. It's coming out good. There's unfortunately no technology available to let you smell this. I'm looking at it, and what do you know? My heat is holding. I'm going to take a picture of this. This guy is holding at 225 degrees, so I guess it's a bonus for me. That's the perfect temperature that I want. Some people go a little higher, some people go a little lower. You know, thin cuts of meat, you don't want to cook them too long or too low because they turn to jerky. So, all right, I'm going to have my beer and give a report on that after I'm done. Been enjoying my La Fin du Monde, and this is probably one of my more favorite beers that I guess you define them as an everyday drinker. It's very light. It's not overly hoppy. It's almost lager-like in its appearance and in its flavor, but there's a little back taste of some hops. Very mild. Very, very mild hops. If you're drinking this beer, you would have absolutely no idea it's 9% alcohol. And let me tell you, this is one good beer. Beer, I think, is the quality of the beer and the enjoyment you get out of the beer is dictated by your surroundings. So, as you've heard, I'm down here sweating away over a hot smoker, and I'm in Memphis, Tennessee, and it's a kind of cool summer day. It's only going to get about 97 or 98 degrees. I don't think we're up to killing weather yet, but we're working our way towards it. So, given all of that, that's my surroundings, so a cold beer that tastes good, man, you can't get nothing better. So I'm enjoying my La Fin du Monde. The head is, the bubbles are still just rising like crazy. It's just like a little party in the glass going on. And it's an excellent beer. I highly recommend it. Now, I don't know what the rules are in your state, but in Tennessee, anything over 6% or more alcoholic content cannot be sold at a grocery store. It's classified as liquor in our grocery stores are not allowed to sell liquor. So if I want good beer that might unfortunately have a high alcohol content, I got to go to the liquor store, which severely limits the selection for me. So the Innerbrew Brewery, I highly recommend it. I've had this, been fortunate enough to have this on tap in Montreal, and it's every bit as good in the draft flavor as, format as it is in the bottle. I think this is a pretty popular beer. I mean, if we got it in Tennessee, God, you can get it anywhere then, I suppose. And it's an excellent beer. It's very light. I guess to categorize it, I wouldn't call it a pale ale. It's just a, I guess you would call it an Abbey ale, but it's not a double, it's not a a Bock, it's a very, very nice beer. And I will make a point of looking on some of the beer review sites and seeing what it's actually classified as. The point of Big Foamy Head and the reviews that we do of beer is not so much to educate you about what it is, but just to tell you what, here's something really good, here's something we like and we enjoy, and kind of pass it along to you. You know, it's like movie critics. They review the movie, they publish their opinion, and some people put their stock in it and base what they see on what a movie critic says. Well, that's ridiculous. You should go and judge things for yourself. Same thing with the beer. So we're not telling you this is rating the beers on a scale of 1 to 10. We're not getting all in-depth about the international bitterness units or anything like that. Just telling you this is a good beer. It's an excellent tasting beer. I've got, I'm looking forward to this Dom de Dieu. It it also is around 9%, and it'll be an interesting beer later on. So you got to kind of pace yourself on these. You know, the downside of these easy drinking super high alcohol beers is you're pounded before you know it. And I've fortunately experienced that in a controlled environment before, and realized after polishing off a couple that I'd drank the equivalent of a couple of six packs, and I was reeling. So we're going to call this done for the review of the beer. Still bubbling like crazy. It's still a good beer. And we're going to check back in about an hour and see how our meat is doing. That'll be when we'll take a peek in there. We'll make sure the temperature doesn't get away from us, and maybe by then we'll be ready for another beer. Talk to you then. So I made a mop out of equal parts apple cider vinegar and vegetable oil, and I dumped in a bunch of some leftover rub that I had laying around. Just, you know, anything will do, just to season up the mop, and I'm going to use it as I see fit. So I've got my mop. I'm getting my sauce basted. I'm going to do the riblets first. That'll be the easy one. Use my pliers, pull the rack out, and just dab at them with the sauce. Yeah, they're looking good. I would say that the ones that got some mustard coating are looking a little moister. The reason I'm doing this, and I'm very, very carefully pulling the rack out, because I don't want my chickens to, but we don't want to have her skin drying out. And that's it for the mop. I need just enough mop to get the chickens wet. And they're looking good. Okay, we got them all. Everything's all moistened. I'm looking at my water pan. My water pan is perfect. Still got plenty of water in there, and I see it's collected a bunch of fat. And I got my chips. Tossing some more chips onto my fire. Coals are looking good. I think I may give them a quick poke and a stir. Let's see if I can't get a little of that ash. I'm going to be gentle with it because I don't want a bunch of ash jumping up into my my meat. So I'm just gently stirring that around. Good. Threw in about two handfuls of chips, and I'm shutting the door. So I've lost 75 degrees. It's coming back up pretty quick. Get my smoke back up. So we'll see how it looks when we're going to check back. I may go another, I may go 2 hours this time. I think the meat is holding its own pretty good. The temperature's holding steady. I'm going to get my mop cleaned off here. And I think we're looking real good. And I may be able to leave it alone for a while. I'm going to check the temperature here in a few minutes to see if it got back up to temperature. But I expect everything is going real well. And it may be time for us to try out our second beer from the Unibrew breweries and see how that goes. in about 10 minutes, if that. And my heat is right back up to 225. I wish I had a whole lot more meat to cook because I couldn't ask for a better fire. It's just perfect. So I've done a little research during my few minutes off about my beer. Unibrew, and this is spelled Unibroue. That's the, I suppose, French pronunciation, or in the U.S. the way we call it, the wrong way to spell Unibrew. It's a nice little brewery. It's got a good website, and it defaults to French. So yeah, the first thing you have to do is find the upper right, click on the English link to be able to read what the hell they got going on here. So I'm reading about Le Fin du Monde, which I was having difficulty describing it as what type of ale it was. I said just an ale, and their definition is this is a triple fermentation golden ale, and it's re-fermented in the bottle. That is some serious fermentation going on. That accounts for the 9% alcohol volume, and the shelf life on this is amazing. I know you know, or assume you know, that hops extend shelf life quite a bit, and typically your more bitter beers have a longer shelf life. Well, I can't really tell you how they managed to do this. I suppose because it's the high alcohol content and finishing it, fermenting it finally in the bottle. This has a shelf life of 8 years. That is fantastic. So that's one of those things that if you find Le Fin du Monde, enjoy it, stock up on it, and keep it in a nice, nice place. So I'm cracking open my Dom de Dieu, and the description on the Unibrew website of Dom de Dieu is, you know, I'm looking at it and reading about it and trying to think, well, you know, I'd heard something about it. It's a wheat beer. And wheat beers are, they're a questionable character by some people. Other people just value them. In Europe, it's considered a children's beer. Go figure. And as I mentioned, this is a 9% alcohol. So I'm pouring my Unibrew. My experience with wheat beers is a lot of foam, a lot of head, and the traditional bananas and cloves smell to it. And depending on how it's brewed, a nice ester or a bad ester finish. Okay, so this is poured, and it looks strikingly like Le Fin du Monde. It's got the haze that you usually find in a wheat beer. Can't see through it. Nowhere near the clarity. A little more head, but really not much of a head. It got a good smell. Barely smell the bananas to it. And the description is this also is a triple wheat ale re-fermented in the bottle. These guys don't fool around. They do their final fermentation in the bottle. And that is the way I like it, finishing it. That's pretty much like a home brewer would do, and that's how I finish all of my beers in the bottle. So let's have a taste of this and see how it is. And that's good. Smooth. Smooth, rich, and creamy. I'm reading this off the website, and yeah, very, very nice. You're not getting the typical wheat beer taste that is you associate with wheat beers. I'm not getting a lot of banana or fruity or pineapple-y taste. It's pretty good. A little bit. I'd say it's like a Le Fin du Monde with a little flavor to it. And I'm trying my best to avoid looking at the web page and being influenced, but it does say that it's a taste of sweet with a warming mix of strength and full-bodied flavor, delicately spiced. Well, I agree with the delicately spiced part. I'm not getting any kind of warming trend, but it's very good. Now, this one, it says, has a shelf life of 2 years and more, so I'm sure that it's something to do with the wheat aspect of it, but gosh, I just absolutely have no idea. So, Dom de Dieu. Oh, I'm sorry. Well, I was just completely wrong. I'm thinking it was Dom de Dieu, name of God, and it's Dom de Dieu, which I don't know what the hell it means. Something of God. I know that. So, who knows? Maybe that'd be worth looking into, or maybe not. So the Don Didier is it's a rather tasty beverage. It says they've been making this since 1998. Yep. It's definitely a tasty beverage. Innabrew does not disappoint. I don't think I've had a bad beer from that particular brewery. Not that I've had many bad beers at all. Some of the worst ones I've had were pretty damn good. So anyway, we're looking good on our barbecue. We're looking even better on our beer. I'm getting my instant gratification from my beer, and I'll get my final gratification later on tonight when I pull the chickens and the riblets off, and I'm looking forward to that. And we'll post more of this on the website. Be sure that when you visit BigFoamyHead.com, visit the gallery. I try and document all of these things that I do, and give you plenty of links to some of the resources that I come across. I found many, many good links, facts about barbecue, about beer, about everything. And you know, I'm not trying to keep you on my website. I encourage you to look around and learn, and that's what podcast and blogs and all of that's all about anyway, and hope you enjoy it. So I'm going to sign off for a couple of hours, and we will check back, and hopefully our chickens and our riblets will be ready for the last round. Going to hit it probably one more time with smoke, and then I think we'll call it done, and then we'll see if we can get some opinions from the family members on our little experiment with the rub and our little side trip into mustard land, something that I can guarantee you no one in my family, not in my extended family either, we just don't do mustard around here. It's just not a Memphis barbecue thing. Memphis barbecue is characterized by lots of spices and rubs. We don't do it wet, we do it dry. And that's just kind of the way it goes around here. And it is a style all on its own. It's a world-recognized style. And, you know, branching out, I don't know if it's heresy or if I'm just under the influence of this fine Unibrew beer, Le Fin du Monde, and Don Didier. But that's what we're trying today. So the smoke, you've heard me mention this, and I wanted to clarify one thing. Why aren't I keeping a lot more smoke on it? Well, there's a couple of reasons. Chicken, poultry, when smoked, it amplifies in flavor, I've noticed, over the course of a day or so. When you first take it off and bite into the chicken after you've let it rest for 30 minutes or so, you got a great smoky flavor. It's subtle. It really enhances the meat. You put it in the refrigerator. The next day, it is profoundly smoky. So, and it's still great. It's just wonderful, but it's a different taste from the day before. So I'm going a little light on the smoke. Now, how's that going to affect my pork, my riblets? Well, the difference there is that these guys don't have a whole lot of meat. They're rather thin, so I think I got enough smoke going on them. I could probably do with a little more. It wouldn't hurt it. Hell, it only hurt. Only help, excuse me. But I'm going to go light on the smoke just for the sake of the chicken. And also because my rub, as I mentioned, I use darker chili powder. I hope I mentioned it in this one or I mentioned it in the other podcast, in which case you'll have to listen to that one also. But I use dark chili powder, which has a kind of a smoky quality all of its own. As does the paprika. So I'm trying to ride the smoke level just right so that it's wonderful on day one and even better on day two. So that's it until we check in on our next 2 hours from now. And we're going to call it done and see how it finishes up. And I'm going to enjoy my Don Didier and we'll check back with you.
Finished my riblets and my chicken, and they're Sometimes I think I'm good news and there's bad news. Bad news was it took about an hour longer than I had wanted it to. My second set of errands I ran today kind of ran over, so I had to make a phone call home and enlist some of the family members to pull the meat off the fire. I didn't get to do my last bit of smoke. I didn't get to do my last baste, and it cooked an hour longer. So is that the bad news? Well, yes and no. That kind of leads me to the good news, and the good news was everything turned out great. I had plenty of water. I had plenty of moist heat. I had my chickens plenty moist from the inside with the beer can. Everything just turned out great. The ribs, I was a little worried about them getting a little dry and jerky-like, but no such luck. I mean, even the leanest pieces came out just spectacular. So I've got a photograph of the finished product. It's posted to the website. Please take a look at it. And I'm really happy with how this all came out. And the rub, the verdict is in on the rub. It's great. It's a good barbecue, typical barbecue taste, and it's got a lot of smoke, and it's got a nice lingering heat. It's a heat, not hurt. I was a little concerned about the amount of cayenne, but it's came out fantastic. So this is definitely my rub that I'm going to use on my large cooking operation coming up for the 4th of July. And so tonight I get to enjoy my smoked chicken, barbecued chicken, and my riblets. And please take a look on the gallery page. And hope you enjoyed it. And we'll see you next time. Thanks a lot.
Somebody tell me, just how low can you go? Well, my car broke down and my rent's overdue. Got holes in my socks and I can't find my shoes. I get high, I get low. Well, somebody